much. And so we asked Sakshi, he said, I'll take care of it. And Sukhetbhai, he sponsored those beautiful silver umbrellas on the top. So it takes the whole village, and every single person in it is participating in this for sure. I want to just read you the rest of the schedule. As we make the Janmashtami schedule over the course of 6 weeks, it changes a little here and there. So sometimes what we have wind up with in the newsletter is slightly altered. So I just want to tell you for today, the next thing will be Srimad Bhagavatam class. Chaturatma Prabhu will do that. Radhasham Sundar's Abhishek will come at 9:30-ish. And Mahatma Prabhu is going to lead those bhajans. And then we have the Raj Bhog Artik at noon. Prem Sankirtan is going to lead that kirtan. And then from noon till about 3-ish, there is an opening in the temple room. If anyone would like to come in and chant, they can do that. At 4 p.m., we start serving prasadam outside, and that will just go all through the evening. And at 4:15, of course, we have an artik again in the temple room. The children's activities tent opens at 4:30. We are always looking for parents to help volunteer over there, because obviously if we have 30 or 40 children sitting doing craft projects, it's not just a one-person job to watch them. So please consider staying there with your child and giving a hand to Kaveri, who handles that. At 6 p.m., we're going to take tractor rides from the barn over to the eco farm. Back and forth it's going to go. And so you'll get to feed the cows over there. You'll get to see what's happening at the eco farm. It's kind of fun also for you and your family to ride on the tractor. 6 o'clock, we'll open the Radha Krishna Abhishek tent. That's over in the village of Vrindavan area. And everyone can bathe Radha and Krishna today. And we have a julan, so we have a little gopal in the julan, and we'll be able to swing him also right in the same tent. We have a children's costume contest. So that's going to start at 6 o'clock on the main stage. So if you have your children and you like to get them in the spirit of Janmashtami, get them dressed up, tell them how they look just like Krishna or Balaram or Radharani or, you know, all that sort of thing. And then we have a prize for everyone who participates. At 6:30, we start entertainment. So I just want to read you quickly the entertainment tonight. Anapayani's Dance Academy will be starting right around 6:45, let's call it. Anapayani's Dance Academy, and then at 7:15, Prahlad and his music students will perform. At 8 p.m., Diana and her choir will sing. At 8:30, Dattatreya Prabhu has a magic show that he's going to do for our pleasure. 9 o'clock, Leela Swarupini, Odissi dancing. 9:30, Mahodari has a theater performance. At 10 p.m., Mahesh and Brihan are going to do a music performance. And 10:30, Shyam Kishore will have a sarod performance. So there's something happening all evening there. We also have a stage set up next to the Lord Jagannath tent in the village of Vrindavan, and that we'll have performances over there throughout the evening as well, dances and singing over there too. At 6:30, we'll open the village of Vrindavan. At 6:30, we have Artik in the temple room. At 7 p.m., we have the Krishna Astatara Satanama Homa right outside here, chanting 108 names of Lord Krishna. This is a good opportunity to sort of purify yourself, chant Krishna's names, be in a fire yug. It's so auspicious. And then at 12 p.m., midnight, we have the big kirtan. Go home, get ready for the next day. We need help from everyone in the community. Besides everything everyone's already done, we're going to make dry fruit garlands during class. If you go into the Pujari, Ramanya Prabhu has all the dried fruit and all the needles and threads. As many as you can possibly make, we need. I'm going to be packing chapan bhog plates at around 11:30 in the kitchen, if you can come and give a hand. We need someone who will change water bottles, because we've rented water dispensers with 5-gallon jugs, so we don't have to have thousands of little plastic bottles. So we just need people to switch out the 5 gallons. The stand has 3 5-gallons in it, and we'll have 3 stands. And it can be the kind of thing where you could just see that it needs done. It's a good idea. If you see something that needs done, to do it. It's a good way to make advancement in Krishna consciousness. So just be aware that someone has to switch out those bottles every now and then. We need help cleaning the kitchen. We start cooking Srila Prabhupada's Vyasa Puja feast tomorrow at 7, so we want to have the kitchen completely clean for the cooks who are coming tomorrow. So you can come in any time of the day. You can also come in later in the day, because there's always just tons of things to clean in there. We have the full schedule. Let's see. The full schedule tomorrow, of course, we have the Guru Puja in the morning, and then around 8 a.m., we start glorifications of Srila Prabhupada. So please come over for Vyasa Puja Day. you don't have to be Prabhupada's disciple to speak or to come. We would like everyone to speak, if, as many as possible. And Gopi Shwari will take the list of the ladies who want to speak, and Prangovinda will take the list of the men who'd like to speak. Tamahar is going to MC that program. It's the first year we haven't had Ranjit doing it, so just be sweet with him, because Ranjit was so great at it. And then we'll do that till 11:45. We'll have Pushpanjali ceremony and the noon artik, and we'll start serving the feast between 12:30 and 1. So I know you'll be ready. Everybody lines up for that. If you're Prabhupada's disciple, we are going to feed you outside under the big colorful tent. We have tables set up for you. We have a crew from Bhaktivedanta Academy coming to serve you. So please let us do that. If you can sign up in the newsletter, there's a link, and that'll tell us if you want to eat here or if you want to take it to go, because then we'll be ready for you. And, okay, now, we want to just give you an update on Kripa Sindhu Prabhu. He was intubated, now he's not, but he's resting. He can't speak, so we don't want anyone going to engage him in discussion. You can visit, but we ask you to be respectful of the medical staff and just understand he's weak and he's tired, and he'd be happy to see you, and maybe you read to him, but keep it low-key. Also, I would like everyone to make a Maha Mantra blessing for Rupa Nuga Prabhu, Srila Prabhupada's early disciple, who passed away yesterday morning early. The end-of-life team, headed by Madhurya Leela, is going to let us know when the funeral arrangements and the memorial will happen. So this is a few days out for that. But there's so many nice remembrances of Rupa Nuga on the internet. So try to read something about him, learn about his life of devotional service. But we'll give a blessing right now that we pray to Srila Prabhupada and Krishna to take him swiftly back to their lotus feet. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. And before I turn it over to Chaturatma, I want to give one more blessing to Sukada Prabhu and Adi Gopi Priya, because they're having their birthdays today on Krishna's birthday. They're sharing with Krishna. And these are very exceptional devotees, very devoted to devotee care for many, many, many years. If you're, if I'm in dire straits, those are the two ladies I call, because they're always there and they're so sweet and helpful and very fixed in at Krishna consciousness. So please give your blessings to Sukada and to Adi Gopi Priya, that they have many more years serving on Prabhupada's lotus feet, serving this community, and we pray for them for their highest and best. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
No mentioned decorations, I just
thought. Okay. Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. I just want to mention something that about the decorations. They're so beautiful. When I came in this morning, I thought, oh my God, they're hanging so low. I'm going to fix this. I'm put it up. But as I watched everyone come in the temple and bowing to get in the door, because they could, I thought, this is a very appropriate decoration. So you come in the door, you've already bowed. You're feeling like a little more humble. So thank you for them for hanging them so low. Hare Krishna.
Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Balava Giri Manadari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Balava Giri Banagari Yasoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yasoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana J Jamuna Tera Manachari. A Jamuna Tira Banachari. A Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Gopi Janabalava Giri Banadari. Anja Sodaran Nanda Braja Janaran Janam Ajamuna Tira Manachari Jaya Radhe Sham Radhe Sham Radhe Sham Jaya Radhe Sham Jaya Giri Govardhan, Jaya Giri Govardhan, Jaya Giri Govardhan, Jaya Giri Govardhan. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Nitya Lila Pravista Astatara Sata Sisi Manas Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Rimsakaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Sri Gadadhar Srivasati Gaura Bhaktivedanta Ki Jai. Sisi Radha Sham Sunda Gopa Gopinath Shama Kundarada Kundi Gedu Gopadan Ki Jai. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Gaura Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the lotus feet of Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Today on this most auspicious occasion of Sri Krishna Janmashtami 2026, we're reading from Bhagavad Gita, verse number 4, text number 6. I'm going to chant the verse all the way through, and then everyone collectively can chant it through one time, and then we'll proceed. Ajo pisanavayatma bhutanam ishvara pisan prakritim sva adishtaya sva sambhavayatma mayaya. Everyone can chant. Everybody together can chant. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't see there wasn't a verse there. My apologies. All right. No verse, so we'll just move on. I thought the... Sorry about that. Aja. Unborn. Api. Although. Son. Being so. Avyaya. Without deterioration. Atma, body, bhutanam, of all those who were born, Ishvara, the Supreme Lord, Api, although, Son, being so, Prakritim, in the transcendental form, Svam, of myself, Adishtaya, being so situated, Sambhavami, I do incarnate, Atma Mayaya, by my internal energy. Translation. Although I am unborn, and my transcendental body never deteriorates, and although I am the Lord of all living entities, by my internal energy, I still appear in every millennium in my original transcendental form. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. The Lord has spoken about the peculiarity of His birth. Although He may appear like an ordinary person, He remembers everything of His many, many past births, as Prabhupada says in parentheses, whereas a common man cannot remember what he has done even a few hours before. If someone is asked what he did exactly on the same time one day earlier, it would be very difficult for a common man to answer this immediately. He would surely have to dredge his memory to recall what he was doing exactly at the same time one day before. And yet, men often dare to claim to be God or Krishna. One should not be misled by such meaningless claims. Then again, the Lord explains His prakriti, or His form. Prakriti means nature, as well as svarupa, or one's own form. The Lord says that He appears in His own body. He does not change His body as the common living entity changes from one body to another. The conditioned soul may have one kind of body in the present birth, but they have a different body in the next birth. In the material world, the living entity has no fixed body, but transmigrates from one body to another. The Lord, however, does not do so. However, whenever He appears, He does so in the same original body by His internal potency. In other words, Krishna appears in the material world in His original eternal form with two hands holding a flute. Shyam Sundar. He appears exactly in His eternal body, uncontaminated by this material world. Although He appears in the same transcendental body and is Lord of the universe, it still appears that He takes birth like an ordinary body. It still appears that He takes birth like an ordinary living entity. And although His body does not deteriorate like a material body, it still appears that Lord Krishna grows from childhood to boyhood and from boyhood to youth. But astonishingly enough, He never ages beyond youth. At the time of the battle of Kurukshetra, He had many grandchildren at home, or in other words, He was sufficiently aged by material calculations. Still, He looked just like a young man of 20 or 25 years old. We never see a picture of Krishna in old age because He never grows old like us. Although He is the oldest person in the whole creation, past, present, and future, neither His body nor His intelligence ever deteriorates or changes. Therefore, it is clear that in spite of His being in the material world, He is the same unborn, eternal form of bliss and knowledge, changeless in His transcendental body and intelligence. Factually, His appearance and disappearance are like the sun's rising, moving before us and then disappearing from our eyesight. When the sun is out of sight, we think that the sun is set. And when the sun is before our eyes, we think that the sun is on the horizon. Actually, the sun is always in the fixed position, but owing to our defective, insufficient senses, we calculate the appearance and disappearance of the sun in the sky. And because of Lord Krishna's appearance and disappearance are completely different from that of an ordinary, common living entity, it is evident that He is eternal, blissful knowledge by His internal potency, and He is never contaminated by material nature. The Vedas also confirm that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is unborn, yet He still appears to take His birth in multi-manifestations. The Vedic supplementary literatures also confirm that even though the Lord appears to take His birth, He is still without change of body. In the Bhagavatam, He appears before His mother as Narayana with four hands and decorations of the six kinds of opulences. His appearance in His original eternal form is His causeless mercy, bestowed upon the living entities so that they can concentrate on the Supreme Lord as He is, and not on mental concoctions or imaginations which the impersonalists wrongly think the Lord's form to be. The word Maya, or Atma Maya, refers to the Lord's causeless mercy, according to the Vishvakosha dictionary. The Lord is conscious of all His previous appearances and disappearances, but a common living entity forgets everything about his past body as soon as he gets another body. He is the Lord of all living entities because he performs wonderful and superhuman activities while he is on this earth. Therefore, the Lord is always the same absolute truth and is without differentiation between his form and his self, or between his quality and his body. A question may now be raised as to why the Lord appears and disappears. This will be explained in the next verse. Om Agyana Tamarandasya Jananjana Shalakaya Chaksurhun Minitam Yunatasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangumlam Jayati Girim Yakripa Tamaham Bande Sri Gurum Dinitarina Sri Guru Paramananda Premananda Pralapada Bhajanana Mananda Seva Mina Jaya Avancha Kapatudu Bhischa Kripa Sindhu Bahevacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Sri Gadadhar Srivasini Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. My only constant companion, my only friend, my guru, my wealth, that which has delivered me, my great fortune and the source of my good luck, the form through which I taste pleasure, my obeisances unto you, O Srimad Bhagavatam. I offer my respectful obeisances to you, O Srimad Bhagavatam. By your recitation, one attains transcendental bliss, because the syllables, your syllables, shower pure love of God. You are to be served by everyone, always, for you are an incarnation of the Supreme Lord. I offer my obeisances to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the invincible Lord Sri Krishna. Simply by meditating upon his lotus feet, I have been able to study and appreciate this great literature. Although the prayers we've just spoken specifically address the Srimad Bhagavatam, today we're discussing a verse from the Bhagavad Gita. The fact is that we cannot appreciate one shastra without the other. Srila Prabhupada describes one as the ABCs and the other as the graduate study. One is required in order to be able to discuss and explain the other. This means that when speaking on one, we will commonly refer to the other back and forth like this. So to be asked to speak today on such a lofty subject as Sri Krishna Janma in front of such an assembly of Vaishnavas is no small task. For a millennium, great acharyas have spoken on this subject matter in various different ways, each adding their own unique insight and their own unique understanding. But what to do if you don't have any understanding or insight? So we go back in that case to the words of the acharyas and follow their lead. As it is said, we learn by their example. So with that in mind and with your blessings, I'll try my humble best to speak a few words on this occasion. This particular purport, if we just read this purport and said, finished, enough said, it would be sufficient. Srila Prabhupada covered so many very detailed and specific points establishing the supremacy of Krishna's birth, establishing the supremacy of his superiority over all the other living entities. Sri Krishna says here that what he says here gives us a little bit of insight into that birth. Although I am the Lord of all beings, I am unborn and imperishable by nature, and I myself appear in the world of the devas, the humans, the animals, etc., and by resorting to my own divine nature. So in other words, his eternal form, Satchit Ananda, through his own self-oriented potency. This is how the Lord manifests. His internal spiritual energy, which is known as Yoga Maya, or Chit Shakti. So now, we may well ask, this is an interesting thing, because sometimes we read, I mean, we should hope that it happens regularly, but that we read something, but what about? Because that process means we're using our intelligence to inquire. Tadvidhi pranipratena, that this is the necessity of spiritual life, is to inquire. So we may ask, how is there any difference in our appearance in this world. Krishna appears as I appear. We, by nature, are unborn. We're Ajna as well. However, and this is the key factor, we appear in this world due to the strict control of Maya and the entanglement of our previous karma. We're subject to the results of action and reaction, and thus we're forced to accept another birth after another birth after another birth in this limited material world, being subjected to it, but not so the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As noted in the Bhagavad Gita, just a couple of verses after this, yada yada hi dharmasya glanya bhavati bhavati. Everybody knows that verse? Raise your hand if you don't know that verse. No, nobody be too embarrassed to raise their hand. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanya bhavati bhavati adbhutanam dharmasya tadatmanam yajyam yam. Whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice, O descend in Abharata, and a predominant rise of irreligion, at that time, I descend myself. So the Lord decides, I will descend. He's not forced. We have karma. We have material nature pushing on us, forcing us to make our appearance in this world. But the Lord is on his own. He just decides, oh, looks like it could be of some use. All right, I'll just go there. And what form does he go in? That's according to the circumstance also. Now, the indication, actually, bold statement, I come of my own will. This is what the Lord says. We do very little of our own will. We think we're independent. We think that, you know, we can decide what we want to do and how we want to do it and where we want to do it. But in reality, all the activities we're performing in this world are dictated by the modes of material nature that we're functioning under. The more we can relieve ourselves from the impact of that modes of material nature, the more transcendental our consciousness becomes. Now, when the Lord comes, he comes with his own divine pastimes, manifesting himself here in this material world in his Satchit Ananda Sarup. And again, either by his own will, or we could say, and in response to the desires of his devotees for the eternal welfare of all the jivas in the world. We see, if we look at all the, I mean, there are unlimited incarnations. Srila Prabhupada says, if you stand on the beach and look at the waves coming in and try to count them, first of all, you can't. But even if you could, then that's even not even close to the number of incarnations the Lord appears in. But we have our primary incarnations, Das Avatar, the 10 primary incarnations. And these incarnations appear differently in different forms at different times for different purposes according to the need of the circumstance in the material world. We're not going to expand this class too long by going through each of the Das Avatars and telling what their particular purpose is. You're all very familiar with this. So this is the difference in our appearance and his appearance. Now, there's another significant difference. When we come to this world, no one is benefited by our mere presence. Now, our mother and father may be quite happy that we've appeared. You know, maybe you've got some, I've got this picture, this absolute, I'm, you know, anyway, I have this absolutely adorable picture of my two youngest granddaughters. And when the littlest one was born, the older sister is holding her and just like, the epitome of bliss is manifest on her face. So, but that wears off. A little sibling rivalry steps in there. But we see that just by my appearance, by our appearance in this world, it's not that anybody's benefited. But in what comes of the Lord, when he manifests, it's for the eternal welfare of all jivas. All living entities are benefited by the Lord's appearance. Now, when we look at this scenario, there's three different acharyas I would like to refer to here, and they give a very significant explanation of this sentence. By the term svam prakritiam, my own nature, Srila Sridhar Swami, often quoted acharya, he explains that it actually means sudha Satvat Makha Prakriti, the nature composed of pure sattva. So in other words, unlike us, Krishna's nature is pure. No contamination, no impact of karma, no force by the material energy. So this is one explanation. Then our stalwart acharya, Sri Ramanuja, he interprets this as prakritim svabhava svameva svabhavam adishtaya sarupena svechaya sambhavami. I descend by assuming my own nature, my essential being, through my own will alone, key word, through my own will alone, establishing my inherent nature as the basis of my appearance. None of us can make such a bold claim as that. I assume my own true spiritual nature, and I appear by my own decision alone, and that is the inherent nature of my appearance. Very interesting. Then we have Sri Madhusudana Saraswati. May not be as familiar with that name. Madhusudana Saraswati appeared just after Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Mahaprabhu's line, greatly regarded acharya. And he has said, Svasvarupam adishtaya svarupa hridita eva. Now he gives the explanation that remaining situated in my own swarup, my own form, I manifest myself. And although I am free from the distinction between the body and the possessor of the body, I behave like an embodied being. Now, this is a very important point. He mentions that it's my swarup that I come and manifest in. This is my original form. When we manifest, it's not our original form. There are so many shortcomings, so many difficulties, so many restrictions, etc. Krishna originates in his manifested form. And he then mentions, although I am not bound by this body, separate from the body as the possessor of the body, I still behave like that. Now that's interesting, because we see that Krishna behaves in a way that can allow those deluded by illusion of Maya to assume that, oh, he's just like one of us. I mean, it's said that when Krishna was on the planet, that very few people actually understood he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They were not in that full consciousness. Now, some, it was because of Mahamaya, the great illusion that they were suffering under. And some, it was because of Yogamaya, because it made his relationship with them much sweeter. I mean, just imagine the completely different twist on Jasoda's pastimes with Krishna. If she understood he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead and was always in that mood of awe and reverence. No. She's his mother. All she knows is if I don't feed him, he's not going to live. If I don't take this stick and chastise him, he's not going to learn how to behave. If I don't worry about the fact he's going to the forest with no shoes on, his feet are going to become harmed. So in this way, the yoga maya, that very much brings about a different type of relationship. So Krishna has this ability, both of them like that. So this clearly expresses and makes it without any question mark, beyond a doubt, that while there is a distinction between the body and the possessor of the body and the embodied being bound by karma, there is no such distinction between the body and the possessor of the body, we could say, in Sri Krishna. Krishna doesn't possess his body because his body and his original, they're exactly the same. This is the point being made here. We're completely different. When the innate personality, our ajna, our unborn, leaves this body, when we leave this body, the body deteriorates. Nobody is very interested in having the association of a dead body. Sometimes you read these very horrific things of someone who's died and the person has kept them in their home, sitting in the chair, just like they always were. You know, and you may have heard of such thing. And then, you know, the authorities come and they say, and it's just a horrible situation because this person's trying to assume, oh, this person is still there. That ability is reserved only for Krishna and his incarnations. Once the soul leaves this body, the body simply deteriorates. If this temple were to be vacated today, this exact building, and left uninhabited for 10 years, all the grass from the yard would creep up over the veranda and into the room, and the ceiling would begin to sag, and all these different things. We just had our annual upkeep of painting the temple room by Manu Shrestha and his crew. It's because we have to maintain these things. If we don't, they deteriorate because it's material. Same thing with our body. Our body is not spiritual. Our body is material. It will begin to deteriorate. So in whatever form Krishna accepts, whether it's a form of a deva, form of an animal, the form of a great sage, the form of a human being, whatever form, etc., he remains fully spiritual with no distinction between those two. No distinction at all. And this is done through his yoga maya. In this way, he's able to delude the world that they see one thing and think something, but those with the proper vision, those who have been given the insight by the spiritual master, they see something completely different. Now, not to put too embarrassing of a point on this, but Prabhupada does give an excellent example, which I would dare say there's about 50% of us sitting here can probably relate to very easily. A common person cannot remember what they have done even a few hours before. If someone is asked what they did exactly at the same time the day earlier, it would be very difficult for the common person to answer immediately. They would surely have to dredge their memory and recall what they were doing exactly at the same time the day before. Anybody? Everybody? It's a source of endless memes and comic strips and newspapers for those of us of a certain age. If you don't know, a newspaper is the thing that would come out and you would actually open it and read it, and then when you were finished, put it in the bottom of the birdcage or whatever. So at any rate, it's constant there about this idea of, you know, coming into a room, standing there for a minute and going, what did I come in here for? I saw the other day there's a GPS program out for elders. You install it in your car, and it not only tells you how to get to where you're going, but why you wanted to go there. So this is a very practical point. And if we are impacted by that way, then how can we assume that we're equal to the Supreme Personality of Godhead? How can we even be expected to remember our previous births? What to speak of our future births? Krishna not only knows what previous incarnations, he knows what his future incarnations are. He's aware of all of this. We have no knowledge of either, completely dependent. So, how do we learn this difference? How do we learn to see this difference and to apply this difference into our life? So there are many verses in the Bhagavat, in the Puranas, in the different Shastras that give us this understanding. A couple here that I like. Direct realization or the experience of Krishna's supremacy, either one, can only be understood through the path of bhakti alone. Period. It's the only way. This is stated very clearly in the Brahma Samhita, Premanjana Charita Bhakti Vilochanena, Santa Sadaiva Hridayeshu Vilokayanti, Yam Shama Sundanam Achintya Gunasurupam, Govinda Mari Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who is Sham Sundar, Krishna himself, with inconceivable, innumerable attributes, whom the pure devotees see in their heart of hearts with the eyes of devotion tinged with the salve of love. So this is a very important point made in this verse by Lord Brahma. We can get that ability to see like this, like what's being described here, but only when we have the premanjana charita, that salve of love, bhakti, to smear our eyes, to see through. And then in that way, we get a clear vision of what's actually going on. Now, Madhvacharya, he quotes from a book called Mathura Shruti. Bhaktir evanam nayati, bhaktir evanam darshati, bhakti vasya purusho, bhaktir eva bhuyasi. It is bhakti alone that leads the jivatma to the lotus feet of Sri Krishna. It is bhakti alone that enables one to behold him. That Sri Krishna is conquered by bhakti. And the glory of bhakti alone is sung throughout all the shastras. So this Premanjana Charita is the result of what Madhvacharya is describing here, of this bhakti. Nayati, this is used. Without this bhakti, one can't understand. One cannot see. One is unable to appreciate the true meaning of the Lord and his appearance. It is bhakti alone that leads the jivatma to the lotus feet of Sri Krishna. This is the kind of statement that we should become very enlivened about. We should be very enthused to hear this because we are that jivatma. We are separated from the lotus feet of Krishna, and we are struggling for the means to reconnect with the lotus feet of Sri Krishna. And that process is bhakti. By having that premanjana charita, by having that true devotional vision. So, although Sri Krishna is always present, and although he's always possessing transcendental qualities, transcendental pastimes, and unlimited transcendental associates, he does not reveal himself to all people, at all places, at all times and circumstances. This goes back to the difference between being covered by Mahamaya or Yogamaya. Krishna, we've established very clearly by citing these different acharyas, by reading this verse in the Bhagavad Gita, that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is eternally in his original form. Even when he assumes other types of forms, it's still his original form. So we see that that's there, but not everybody realizes that. How is that possible? We come into the temple room, we take this absolutely, beautiful isn't even a close word, stunning, magnificent, astounding darshan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and we immediately think, Krishna is so wonderful, he's so powerful, let me just surrender to him. At least we hope to think like that, we endeavor to think like that. But if someone, I remember one time, I brought my sister to the temple. Of course, the deities were not large deities like this. It was in St. Louis. It was smaller deities. I brought her into the temple room and showed her the altar. All she saw was flower vases. Didn't even see that there were so-called statues of deities there. We go in and the flower vases really complement Krishna today. The flower vases complement Krishna. We see Krishna is the main point. And then everything else decorated complements that. But for those that don't have that vision, that don't have any bhakti, that don't have any premanjana charita, they don't see that. They don't appreciate that. Same thing comes from chanting the holy name of the Lord. We chant the holy name of the Lord repeatedly. I had one gentleman that I worked with some time ago, and he said, oh, you know, I saw your people. That they always say that we're working. Your people. Yes, my people. I saw your people there at the football game. I went in and they were chanting one song, and when I came out 2 hours later, they were chanting the same song. Is that the only song you guys know? Don't you get bored chanting that same song? So, you know, this again, for the devotee, no, we don't get bored chanting the name of the Lord. No, we don't look at the form of the deity and become, oh, that's nice. Is there anything else to see here? Because we appreciate that this has Krishna, every aspect of it, completely potent. Just as Prabhupada continues to say, just as the sun is always visible to human eyes, similarly, the sun-like Sri Krishna, being concealed by yoga maya, is not perceivable to everyone. It's an interesting scenario how someone, we think, can come and visit here, see all the devotion and all the sentiment and all the love that is put here, and not realize this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Excuse me. And this is because they have not embraced this idea of a difference between their own body and their consciousness, their existence, their true spiritual identity. Excuse me. So, in this way, Krishna not being visible is similar to this form of Shamsundar, this form of Vasudev, is beyond the mayika birth of this material world. But when we're deluded, when we're illusioned by maya, we think that Krishna is suffering in the same way that we are, that Krishna is entangled in the same way we are. After we roam through this universe for many, 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 many different lifetimes, the jiva, by the mercy of Guru and Krishna, receives the seed of the creeper of devotional service. That seed is known as Shraddha, or faith. This is what's required. When we get into the car, we start the engine, we have faith that the engine will start. It does. We proceed, we put our foot on the gas pedal. The gas pedal propels the vehicle forward. When we need to brake, we put our foot on the brake, it stops. And we have complete faith that these things will happen. Why? Because we have maintained that vehicle. We don't just simply get into it with never thinking about it. We're always conscious of the fact that I have to be sure that there's fluids in there, I have to check the brakes. You know, periodically I have to take the brakes in and get new brakes put on it. Sometimes we have to get new parts put in this body, you know, some kind of a transplant or new knees or, you know, whatever your particular ailment is, right? And so due to the process of maintaining that vehicle, we have the faith that it's going to function like it should. So this is the process of Shraddha. By regularly maintaining our spiritual life, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Dasyam, Achmanat, Manivedanam, by all these different processes of devotional service, then we are nourishing our bhakti. We are nourishing our ability for that premanjana charita bhakti vilochanena. We're nourishing our ability to see Krishna and understand that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is the aspect of faith that manifests in our own practical material daily life, that we can use that same principle and apply it to our spiritual life. So that seed of Shraddha, it's sown into the field of the heart. I see here in the audience one friend of mine who is expert at growing roses, very particular about the type of rose bushes to get, where they come from, what their heritage is, and taking care of them very nicely. And as a result, those roses produce very nice, those bushes produce very nice flowers, which are then offered to his deity. So this heart is a similar field for growing this bhakti lata. And due to the result of watering that seed that's there, and how is it watered? Well, we water the rose bushes with actual water, but we water our bhakti lata with the teachings emanating from the mouths of the sadhus and the gurus. And this comes to us in the form of Shravanam and Kirtanam. By that process, that bhakti lata within our heart sprouts. Nothing brings greater joy to a Tulsi servant than having taken seed and placed it into the soil and carefully watering, and then one day, little sprout comes up. Oh, such happiness. Same thing with planting flowers. I just had my first wave of marigolds all died out. So I got some new seeds, and I sprinkled the seeds in the area and watered them. 2 or 3 days later, I saw little sprouts coming up. These will be gerbers. Gerbers are very nice flowers. They don't have much of a fragrance. They're very pretty. So all these little, and such joy comes to the heart. Imagine the joy that can come to our heart when our bhakti lata begins to sprout. And it sprouts through the process of shravanam and kirtanam, hearing and chanting. This is the watering process for that. And then it continues to grow. And so we, as the spirit soul, having received that shelter, we nourish that, and that bhakti lata gradually penetrates through the material universe. And once it penetrates through the material universe, it crosses over the Viraja River. This is quite a creeper, you know. It's growing quite well. What do they call it? I think it's called Confederate jasmine. It sends out these, and it'll just take over an entire fence line, you know, constantly in all directions for 5-6 feet, even like that, you know. So the bhakti lata goes like this. It goes through the Brahman realm and then into the spiritual sky. Then, as noted in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 19, verses 154 and 155, this is Lord Chaitanya's instructions to Rupa Goswami. Interesting thing. Each section of the Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, and the postgraduate, as Prabhupada said, Chaitanya Charitamrita, these are instructions by the Lord to different personalities. And these instructions are there for our benefit. This is the reason they're noted down and passed on and passed on. At any rate, Mahaprabhu says to Rupa Goswami, being situated in one's heart and being watered by the process of Shravanam and Kirtanam, the bhakti creeper grows more and more and more. And in this way, that bhakti creeper attains the shelter of the desire tree of the lotus feet of Sri Krishna, who is eternally situated in the planet known as Goloka Vrindavan, in the spiritual world. Now, this is also a very interesting point in and of itself. How is Krishna eternally situated in the spiritual world? We just talked about he appears in this world. He makes his birth in so many different incarnations and so many circumstances. So what do you mean, he's here and he's there? I mean, we can't do that. There has been history of certain yogis that can manifest themselves into 8 forms. Our Prabhupada gives some example of certain yogis that can dip into the water in one place and by their mystic potency come out of the water in an entirely different place. And I'm not talking 3 or 4 feet downstream, in an entirely different place in the planet or the universe or whatever. So how is it that Krishna's here, but he's there? He's here, he's there, he's everywhere. What was that? He's here, he's there, he's everywhere. Anyway, so this is because Krishna does not have to give up one form to accept another form. When we're going to take our next birth, we have to give up this birth. To take the birth we're in now, we had to give up our last birth. So we don't have the ability to be in multiple places at one time. Krishna has that complete ability. He can remain in the topmost place of the spiritual sky, and yet, for the benefit of the jivas, manifest himself here, either in the form of the deity, or in the form of various incarnations, in the form of the holy name. So the creeper then greatly expands in this Goloka Vrindavan planet, and it produces the fruit of love for Krishna. And although remaining in the material world, the gardener, referring to us, the gardener, regularly sprinkles that creeper with the water of hearing and chanting. So repeatedly, this process of Shravanam Kirtanam is referred to. Why on this wonderful holiday weekend, when everybody else is out planning what they're going to do, we're already 5 hours into our program and sitting here collectively on the floor with only fans, no air conditioning, although the weather's not quite as bad as it has been, and enjoying the conversation about Sri Krishna. This is the process of hearing and chanting. This is the process that allows us, here again, reflecting back to these words of the Acharyas, that allows us the understanding of Premanjana Charita through the process of bhakti. So this, the creeper grows in that way. And the gardener, ourself, has to regularly maintain it. So it's not something we just do, okay, what's it they say in Christianity? A C&E crowd, Christmas and Easter. This is my C&E congregation. I remember my minister telling me that once. I said to him one Christmas, I said, wow, it's so packed today. He said, yeah, this is the C&E crowd, Christmas and Easter crowd. I guess here we'd have the J&G, Janmashtami, Gopurnima, whatever. We have so many festivals, you'd have to, you know, do a whole alphabet of numbers. That's the wonderful thing in devotional service. Krishna's pastimes are so unlimited that we have festivals practically every week. Always, this is the Vaishnava calendar, always something going on. So this is what we do regularly. Nitya Bhagavata Sevaya. It's an eternal service. So Nitya Seva means that we eternally embrace this service and do it unendingly. So this is the process by which we can understand the unique appearance of Sri Krishna. We want to understand this. This verse from the Gita here, you know, although I am unborn and my transcendental body never deteriorates, and although I am the Lord of all living beings, by my internal energy, I still appear in every millennium in my original transcendental form. So if we want to understand this, and this is Bhagavad Gita, and we're not even into like the 10th, 12th, 16th, 18th chapter. We're in the beginning three or four chapters. This is the beginning instructions Krishna is giving. He's speaking to Arjuna, but he's speaking for us. This is why millennia later, we're still studying this. And so if we want to understand this, then this is the process. Shravanam and Kirtanam, Seva, leading us to the path of bhakti, which leads us to the salve of love of God, Premanjana Charita. So it seems to be a very clear process. However, there is a stumbling block on this path. And one must take very careful caution not to fall into this. And that stumbling block is considered to be the mad elephant offense of Vaishnava aparadha. The sub-branches of desires for bhukti and mukti, for liberation, the engagement in forbidden activities, the engagement in politics and hypocrisies called kutinati, violence towards other jivas, and the desire for profit, adoration, and distinction. These activities, they will lead us away from the path of bhakti. They will prevent us from nourishing our bhakti lata. They will prevent that plant that we're hoping to mature to love of God from getting deep rooted. Again, those of us that are gardeners know that if the roots don't go deep into the ground, they say that whatever you see above the ground, 10 times that is below the ground. So if we don't have deep rooted devotion, it is due to one of these activities here. Offending Vaishnavas, engaging in forbidden activities, desiring for liberation, engaging in politics and hypocrisy, engaging in violence towards other jivas, and desiring, on a more subtle level, profit, distinction, and adoration. Yes, I'm the best mridanga player. Nobody dresses the deity like I do. Did you get a taste of that prasadam I made for the Lord? All of these different types of mentalities, this is all not beneficial. And these will prevent this bhakti lata from attaining the lotus feet of Sri Krishna. So it's absolutely necessary for the devotee to take shelter of Krishna, to take shelter of the guru. This is how we take shelter of Krishna, through the process of serving the guru, to have an affectionate relationship with the sadhus. And this is an interesting thing. The statement given is to have an affectionate relationship with the sadhus who are superior to oneself. Now, aren't all sadhus superior to oneself? Isn't this the proper attitude? All the sadhus are superior. So this means having an affectionate relationship with all devotees and those of a similar devotional mood. There are different moods of bhakti. And so one has to associate with those that are in the same mood. Now, this use of the word affection is very important. Jagadananda Pandit, one of the dear intimate associates of Mahaprabhu, in his book Prema Vaivarta, he makes a statement. Actually, Jagadananda was one of the few people that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu feared. Because sometimes Jagadananda would become upset with the Lord, and he would not speak to him, and he would fast for 3 or 4 days. And some small, slight thing, Jagadananda was very, very emotional and sentimental in his service, and he liked it only that, you know, whatever he gave to Mahaprabhu should be accepted. And if any argument or discussion or, you know, something of it, he was not very happy about this. So Jagadananda Pandit would speak to the Lord in such a way that he feared doing anything that upset Jagadananda Pandit. But Jagadananda Pandit also was an extremely knowledgeable scholar, and he's written this book, Prema Vaivarta. If you are not familiar with it, I highly recommend it. It's a very important book to read. At any rate, he says, Sarosanga Krishna Nama E Matakali Kai Samsara Jinite Ar Kona Vashtu Nai. The one and only goal is to chant Krishna Nam in the association of the sadhus. There is no other way of conquering material existence. Boom. Jagadananda Pandit's book, Prema Vaivarta, is a very small book, only a few handfuls of verses. But each of those verses has very practical, very pointed instructions. One other place, Jagadananda Pandit says, it's impossible to cross a river with your 2 feet in 2 different boats. You can imagine trying to do that, going across the river. You've got 2 boats side by side. You've got 1 foot in each one. Well, you're going to end up getting wet, right? So this is one of those types of instructions. Saru sanga krishna mata e matrachai samsara jinete ara kona vastu nai. The one and only goal is to chant Krishna Nam in the association of sadhus. There is no other way of conquering material existence. Now, when an acharya says there is no other way, this is when our ears should perk up and we should embrace that. Oh, I want to get the goal of chanting Krishna Nam. I have to be in the association of devotees. I have to be in the association of the sadhus when they're doing these things. So this is the process that we can understand to appreciate the unique appearance of Sri Krishna on this Janmashtami. And we'll finish there. If there's maybe just 1 or 2 questions, they're still setting up, but very quickly they're going to be ready to start the Abhishek, speaking of bathing the Lord. So,
question.
Yes, Mathura. I'll get the microphone there.
Along with Shravanam and Kirtanam, can you speak about the importance of contemplation?
Smaranam.
Yes.
Yeah. So what's your question?
Well, a lot of time we hear, you know, hear, just hear, but we may not necessarily contemplate what we're hear, and it enter the heart.
Well, contemplation has to be there for the process of hearing. We have to distinguish what are we hearing. We can get in the car and turn on the radio and listen to a wide variety of things. Most average cars nowadays have, over 600 options. I was looking at an advertisement for a hotel recently, and they were advertising that they have 6,500 television channels you can watch. I thought, 6,500? Even in 10 lifetimes, you can't do that. So we have to distinguish. We have to distinguish. So distinguishing what we hear impacts our hearing and chanting, because our hearing and chanting will be beneficial or not according to what it is that we're listening to. And then by that hearing and chanting of proper selected topics, our smaranam is manifested. Smaranam is going to manifest anyway. If you're listening to, you know, whatever, then somewhere down the road that's going to pop up in your brain, whether you want it to or whether it's the most appropriate time or not. Therefore, the process of distinguishing our hearing and chanting will develop into the process of smaranam. I will finish there. It's 9:30. That's generally the cutoff time for Abhishek days. And we'll ask everyone to please stay. Wonderful kirtans are about to take place. Mahatma Prabhu is going to bathe all of our ears and hearts with the holy name. And as Jagadananda Pandit says, in the association of sadhus, take part in Krishna Nam. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.